You are now tuned into the Boxing Bros. I'm Caden, and I'm here with my co-host.
What's going on? It's the commissioner, True Dollar Bill.
What's good? This is G.
Now, as you can see, Ned the TBE is not here. He literally just disappeared on us. So, Ned, wherever you're at, we hope you're safe. We love you, bro. We'll catch you on the next one. The first topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is our reaction to David Benavidez stopping David Lemieux. And we're going to turn it over to the new leader of the David Benavidez bandwagon, although he arrived there late. Spirit G, what was your reaction to the fight?
All right, listen. You see, he called me first because he thought I was going to jump out the window. But I'm not, right? I'll say this. It was an impressive performance. However, Lemieux kind of past his prime, so it wasn't necessarily that impressive. But I will say this, though. What Benavidez did to Lemieux, Triple G didn't do that to Lemieux. You know what I mean? But then again, Triple G, I think, had him in his prime. So it's kind of hard to do the cross comparison on that one. But nonetheless, man, David Benavidez, he showed he has great combination. He has good power, good punch placement. You know, his defense could have been a little better. But nonetheless, excellent performance from David. Man, I thought it was going to be done in the first round. The homeboy got saved by the bell. But it didn't necessarily even matter. He had no chance of winning against David Benavidez, man. So, salute to David Benavidez. I just want to see him now with real killers at 160. You know what I mean? Like, Lemieux, again, he was a good contender, but he's way past his prime. I think he needs to hang it up. Salute to Boxing Bros Canada. But Lemieux ain't that dude like he used to be, man. But, David, you did a good performance.
All right, Trill, Dollar, Bill.
Yeah. Phoenix, stand up. Phoenix, stand up. It came out with a boy. You know, the Suns got upset by Dallas, right? But y'all can smile again because David got you. You know? David definitely got you. This is what I thought of the fight. Too much skill versus too much heart. That's how I looked at the fight. David Benavidez did what we thought he was going to do. That's why we didn't do a prediction video. That's all I gotta say about that.
Our prediction video would have been which round he gonna get knocked out.
I'll say this: David Benavidez looked sharp. I was impressed with his check hook. I thought he was landing that punch beautifully, and it hurt David Lemieux. He showed an arsenal of punches. He threw combinations with good speed. His ability to fight on the inside, although he's sometimes usually the taller fighter, is great as well. But this is David Lemieux, who we've seen knocked out several times before, who was moving up to 168. It was an impressive win, but how impressive, really? At this point, I just want to see what David Benavidez can do in the ring with another young prime fighter such as himself. I'm sick of seeing them, not just Benavidez, because I don't want to make it seem like Benavidez is the only one who's doing this, but I'm sick of seeing Charlo. I'm sick of seeing Benavidez. I'm sick of seeing Demetrius Andrade in there with people other than each other. These guys, they're going to beat the mediocre. They're going to beat a guy like David Lemieux, who at the peak of his powers was good enough to get stopped by Triple G. David Lemieux got stopped by Marco Rubio. So, like, what are we saying? Like, so for me, it was impressive. He looked sharp. Just the eye test, his skills, he looked sharp. He did what he was supposed to do. He ate his food. He didn't play with his food. Took his food out early. That's what he was supposed to do. Not dropped him. He went through the ropes. I said, damn, I thought it was over there.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
But David Lemieux showed a lot of heart. He moved up. Like Trill said, he was taking a beating, and he was willing to take the beating for, and like you were going to have to stop him. which shows a lot about him. And David Lemieux was, he's always been known as someone with a good offense, and he has pop. He landed some good punches on Benavidez, and Benavidez took those punches. So, you know, he didn't go there to just get beat up. He went out there and he tried. So salute to Lemieux. You've seen better days, though, David Lemieux. I don't know if you need to continue. That's just my take on it. But hey,
he done. You could tell by when he spoke at the end. I was like, bro, I don't even know what you're saying. But hang it up, yo.
I think he should hang it up, but.
I'm with you, Caden. Tell these promoters, man, stop milking the cow. Stop trying to milk it. You're milking it by throwing these young fighters in there with these fighters that's past their prime. Put these fighters in here and let's test their skills. So when they get in there with a top-notch fighter, they'll be able to deliver. Stop trying to milk the cow, trying to get all this money from these innocent people. You know?
Yeah, it's doing them a disservice. David Benavidez, I saw in that fight, he's ready for whomever. Mm-hmm. Like, let's see it. He was sharp. He was fast. He was accurate. The dude is ready. You know, we'll see how Charlo looks, but they coming up in the following weeks. But we're going to get into that next segment. So, you know what? I'm just done. We're going to the next segment. The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is who should David Benavidez fight next? And, of course, because he's the leader of the Benavidez bandwagon, we're going to Conspiracy.
Canelo. Easy, you know what I'm saying? Easy, I'm telling you. Benavidez, his speed, his combinations, you know, his the way he maintains distance, it's going to be ideal for Canelo. He's going to win, I'm telling you. It's going to be disgusting, you know what I mean? Or honestly, he can
disgusting,
pick
whoever. Define disgusting. Hold on, G, go ahead. What's disgusting mean?
Listen, he'll knock out Canelo. I promise y'all that. I promise y'all that he's gonna knock out Canelo.
Let the record reflect that G 100%. Said in the first segment he was not gonna jump out the window. Let the record reflect.
All right. In the first segment, I honestly thought David Benavidez was fighting at 160 because he looked so in shape that I was like, this dude don't look like the typical David Benavidez. So I'm thinking that fight was at 160. When I found out it's at 168, I said, you know, this is perfect because David Lemieux, this is gonna be a stretch. However, it's still a decent enough comparison. David Lemieux, he has similarities to Canelo. They're both power hitters, you know. He always moves forward. Now, his defense isn't as great as a Canelo, but he has better legs than Canelo. So, nonetheless, I'm just saying, David Benavidez, he took this dude's strongest shots. He was no threat at all. I'm just saying, again, this is the same Lemieux that still gave Triple G some problems. I mean, not saying he wasn't close, but I'm saying Triple G had a hard time with this guy. David Benavidez just ran right through him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, big fella. Walk with me, man.
After a string of good weeks, G, you were sounding like you knew about boxing, G. You come and you do this, G.
I'm just saying, have faith. I'm telling you. Yo, Canelo don't want no parts of Benavidez right now, son. I'm telling you. Now, Caleb Plant don't want no parts. You know what I mean? Listen, Charlo don't want no parts right now. I'm just saying, yo, David Benavidez, just take all the names, put it in the hat. Whatever you pull out, man, that should be your next fight. A lot of these guys, man, going to have a hard time. Like, Caleb Plant has talked the spiciest out of all of them dudes. Caleb Plant ain't going to take that fight. He going to still say, oh, you still ain't got a belt. I only want to fight if you got a belt. That's just, to me, it's just a fancy way of saying I'm a duck. You know what I'm saying? And all due respect to Caleb Plant. But that sounds like a duck to me because you ain't got no belt right now. So why not make a huge pay-per-view right now? He don't want those problems. I'm just saying, man. Listen, anybody at 168 is fool for David Benavidez. Billy Joe Saunders, stay over there overseas. You don't want these problems over here. I'm just saying. This is my man's time to shine. I'm just being real. The only person I could think is going to give him a competitive fight right now would be Canelo. Triple G is at 160, right? If Triple G wants to move to 168, he fooled too for David Benavidez. I'm just saying. Man. Oh, I'm lying. And Charlo would be a competitive fight also. That's going to be tough for me to pick. So, I'm leaving Charlo out of this one. But Benavidez versus
G, you said everyone's food. That means Charlo is food.
Nah.
Yes, it does.
Everyone but Charlo is food. You know what I'm saying? And Canelo ain't food either. Charlo and Canelo, they in their own bracket. Everybody else, you're food, son. Fast food, too. Disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, man. Yo, David, you got options out here. None of these dudes want these problems. Munguia don't want these problems. Boo Boo don't want these problems. Triple G don't want these problems. Charlo don't want either. Charlo don't want these.
Wait, problems. So you're saying that Benavidez would steamroll Boo Boo too?
Yo, Boo Boo's tricky, but
what are you saying, G?
No, listen. I'm gonna say this, and I love Demetrius Andrade, but he's gonna lose too. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you're gonna have to engage with a dude like David Benavidez. Dave Benavidez just punches too hard. Like, his punches is way stronger, and he has fast hands. Boo Boo may have good footwork, but it's like, well, we're going to just pop shot this dude into a victory? I doubt it. It's just not going to happen. He's going to have to engage with Benavidez. And once that happens, he's going to get clipped, and then it's downhill from there. So I just don't see it, man. I don't know. Every guy at 160 and 168, I just don't see it. I'm like, only two that could give this dude comp is Charlo and Canelo. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, Canelo's not going to happen next. You know, man, Charlo's not even going to happen next. So, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, man, my man's in he's in a comfortable position. If I was all these promoters, I'm staying away from this kid because he's dangerous. And that's a fact.
All right. True, dollar
bill. 100.
Put him in there with the tulip. It's bad blood. You know what I'm saying? Let's get some money. You know? And that's how I feel. I think that'll be a big fight for them on that side, especially with the build-up. I think the build-up be good, especially with all the bad blood. But I agree with you, G. I think that he wins that fight. I just don't think homie's face holds up. And I've been saying that since a while ago. Before he even fought Canelo, I said about Plant's face not holding up if he ever fought one of these guys. And it didn't hold up. You know?
Don't those problems, man. I'm telling you, I think it's going to duck. You know what I mean?
I think for a good fight with bad blood, with some good press, I think that would be a good fight to make with Plant and David Benavidez. But I do pick David Benavidez to pull through. Besides Canelo with a lot of experience. You know, David Benavidez says he'd like to test himself against a Canelo, but you know, he's okay with creating his own path and taking on these other challenges and letting Canelo do what Canelo got to do. And as far as cleaning up the 168, I believe that he could, the guys that's there now, because we got to remember, Charlo hasn't fought at 168 yet, so we don't know what he looks like. You know what I'm saying? So, the guys at 168 right now, I would put David Benavidez as number one. But there is still some tough challenges out there, you know, that he could be, other than Canelo, excuse me, you know, Canelo number one at 170, but other than Canelo at 168, I would put him up there around like number one. But there is tough challenges out there like Boo Boo. I think that would be a tough challenge for David Benavidez because we're going to have to see something different. You know what I'm saying? Instead of walking towards a fighter, we're going to have to really see if he can really cut off the ring. You know, there's a lot of things that have been a lot of gimmicks for David Benavidez. You know, we get excited about these fights that he's supposed to win. You know, I haven't seen him in a fight that I had to pick against him.
But doesn't that same rule apply kind of with Boo Boo, right? Moving up to 168. You know, at 160, yeah, man, he was magical with the movement. But at 168, he might be a little different, might be a little slower. And Benavidez, just slap him real quick, something light.
But I think the skill level is still a little different. I think as far as with skills go, I think power and the size of David Benavidez. Because I still think Benavidez can campaign at 175 pounds if he wanted to, you know. But the size of him and the power of him, I think that would be a problem for Boo Boo. But other than that, you got to understand that Boo Boo is very skillful. He can mess around and make this a boring, ugly fight for 12 rounds with the jab and hold. And you know what I'm saying? He can make it. I done seen him fight different styles. You know, I want to see if David Benavidez can adapt to these different styles and do a different style himself, you know, instead of to come forward landing these hard, sharp type of fights, you know. So, yeah, this David Benavidez, I will agree with you. To me, I think he is, and he gives all these guys a problem at 168. I don't think nobody from 160 is going to jump up right directly and go after somebody like a David Benavidez. I think that they would be crazy too, you know. But yeah, David Benavidez, I think the fight with him and Caleb Plant, I think that would be a good fight. I think the trash talking between the two would be epic, you know. And I think, people put it somewhere neutral. Put it somewhere neutral where people from Phoenix can go to, and Caleb Plant. Where Caleb's face from?
Arizona,
he's
right?
He's from Nashville.
He's from Nashville, right?
Oh, Plant's from, yeah.
Okay, so we can find somewhere like the habits.
I'm not Nashville, my bad.
So that both crowds can come through and do something.
David, go to his hometown. Go to Nashville and spank him. That's what we need to see. I'm telling you, man. Yo, you got to go over there and take the fans, bro. Watch. You know what I mean?
Nah, I hear you. G definitely went a little overboard. I hear what you're saying, Trill. But my only, knock against that is Caleb Plant is coming off of his loss to Canelo. So if Benavidez was to stop him now, everyone's going to be like, oh, you did it after Canelo. So I feel like Caleb Plant needs to show he's still good. He's still, you know, he's still the Caleb Plant of old with another fight before he immediately goes into the Benavidez fight. And I think that's for his own psyche because, like, I've seen things, let's just say, where I want to make sure Caleb Plant is still Caleb Plant and he's still the guy whose heart is in boxing. Whereas you have Demetrius Andrade and you have Jermall Charlo, two really good fighters. And Jermall Charlo is fighting soon, next month. And then he'll be available. And then you have Demetrius Andrade. Now, you bring up a good point. This is going to be their first fight at 168. Probably not wise to do it against David Benavidez. But I think he would get more credit for beating one of those guys than beating a Caleb Plant. But at the same time, if he can't get one of those guys, who can he fight at 160? I really don't know. It's kind of like, I think for Benavidez, not his next fight, but the fight after, where we're going to find out the most about David Benavidez. But maybe Andrade would take the fight immediately coming up. Here's what I would say about Benavidez to you, G, and why I would tell you to pump the brakes. Anthony Durrell took rounds from Benavidez when he wasn't even in his prime with movement, utilizing good boxing. And if he can do it, Boo Boo can do it. If he can do it, Charlo can do it. The thing was that Benavidez was able to get to him late. And when Benavidez got to him, Benavidez was able to stop him. That's the issue. I see Boo Boo and Charlo being able to take rounds from Benavidez. The question is, can you avoid that onslaught for 12 rounds? That's the real question. I don't think he's unbeatable.
My response would be this. That Benavidez was 20 years old. This Benavidez is 25, 26 or whatever. So my man's now seasoned in this. You know what I'm saying? So he understands boxing more. He understands the sweet science. Dudes ain't just going to just roll on him like that. You know what I mean? Like, Boo Boo not going to do that, bro. You know what I mean? So, and again, Boo Boo's my man.
Every time you say somebody's your man, you ain't saying nothing good about
him. Stand up. He's my man. Yo, man, listen. Dave is just a different type of animal, son. I don't know. Yo, and it's you see it in the fights. Like, something happens when that bell rings, he just locks in. I don't know, man. He's focused now, man. I think back then when Durrell was giving him that work, he was probably nervous, man. He was young and experienced. He ain't the same David Benavidez, man. I'm telling you, man.
My response to that would be, yeah, he may have been 20, but Durrell was 157 years old at the time. So it wasn't like he was fighting a young fighter in their prime. So although you're highlighting the fact that Benavidez was younger, his opponent was old. Now you take these young, fresh guys like on like Demetrius Andrade. Demetrius Andrade not only has skill, but he has power. Let's not forget, Demetrius Andrade has made a living off of dropping people early and just not finishing them.
Hold on. Remember, power in the first three rounds.
But my point is, he's dangerous. And he lands the shot. Now, here's the thing I've never seen David Benavidez in the ring with. A guy like Demetrius Andrade who can get you off balance and hit you with a shot you don't see coming.
That is true.
Now, let's see how he deals with that. Because he's been able to throw his onslaught of punches and not worry about getting hit back because these guys didn't have the ability to slip, get out the way, and counter. But with Andrade, he's gonna pay for mistakes. See, you can make a lot of mistakes. You can throw a lot of punches when you're not getting return fire or the person has the inability to make you pay. But Demetrius Andrade's a different ball game. So is Jamal Charlo. And they're also not, you know, toward the tail end of their career. I don't want to keep messing with my man, Anthony Durrell, because I like him. Because I like him.
I like
but
him.
But the point is, he is no Demetrius Andrade. He is no Jamal Charlo. And even in his peak, even at his prime, he was never them. And that old 40-year-old still took rounds from a young 20-year-old Benavidez. Now, I'll give you this. He is probably better. He probably is sharper. But that Anthony Durrell that he beat when he was 20 is still better than the David Lemieux that he beat last night. He could fight Anthony Durrell today. He couldn't do what he did to Lemieux to Anthony Durrell today.
You don't know that.
I know that. You think he stops Anthony Durrell in two rounds today? The dog? I don't think so. He'd win. He might still stop him, but in two rounds, G, you telling me Benavidez will stop Anthony Durrell in two rounds?
Yo, next segment. Yo, next segment.
Saying, yo, stop jumping out the window, G. I know you like
Benavidez. All right. I forced it with that one. But I'm going to say this. Benavidez will eat an Andrade punch to the face, bro. He'll eat it like the referee ate that shot last night. I'm not worried about David's chin. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure even in the shot, and I will say Boo Boo's good at hitting dudes with shots they don't see coming. But David's sturdy enough to just take that shot. So I'm not necessarily worried with Boo Boo. And Boo Boo, yeah, he does great when he's fighting like no-namers. You know what I mean? Yeah, they get dropped, but them no-namers keep getting back up. So I'm thinking David Benavidez is way more sturdier than those dudes that he's been fighting. And
is that Boo-Boo not the part calling the kettle black?
No, hold on. Walk with me. Just walk with me. David Benavidez is more active. David Benavidez at least gets at least 2 to 3 fights a year. Boo fights once a year, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, the inactivity got to catch up to you sometimes. Like, it doesn't even make sense for Boo.
Or preserving his legs and keeping them fresher.
or Boo's living a clean lifestyle, though.
What that mean? My man been clean, son. He in the past.
I'm not taking shots at him. That's not what I'm saying. That's I'm saying Boo's not drinking. Mm-hmm. Boo's not smoking. Boo's not, you know, abusing his body in any way. Boo's in shape all year round.
Man, how you know? Boo.
Well, here's what I do know, because I've never seen him with a gun. Because I never seen him with a gut. G, by your own admission, you just said, hold on, G. By your own admission, you just said, this the best shape you saw Benavidez in. He usually got like a little gut or whatever. That's what you just said.
Hey, man.
Listen, no one's ever said that about Demetrius Andrade. That's how I know.
You always come with snack.
Benavidez, yeah, he did come in there with the snack cap on. He ain't pop
belly. The man's with the snack. You mean it's on snacks? Oh, yes, okay.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't pop belly Benavidez no more.
That's what I'm saying. Think about it.
The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is Joshua Buatsi and Craig Richards settle their domestic feud, and Buatsi gets the decision. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Conspiracy G. What was your reaction to that?
Man, I thought it was a great fight, man. Unfortunately, I didn't score round for round because I thought Boatsy was going to run through this dude. But I, fortunately, I was wrong, and happy that I was wrong. It was a great fight, but Boatsy showed me a lot of things that I'm of concern. He has to work more on defense, and you know, this is his first time going 12 rounds. And those last two rounds, he showed a lot of fatigue, especially in the 12th. So I know we got another segment coming up, but I think he needs another matchup, you know, before he goes world level. You know, like I think Richards was a great person for him right now to build up, you know, that championship physique, you know what I mean? That endurance that he needs. But I don't know, like Boatsy's power doesn't transfer all 12 rounds. So Virgil, man, you gotta figure out something to help out Joshua. I think with Joshua, what he does do good is, you know, even if he's hurt, he's gonna come back and try to attack with a counter. He has a great jab, he has a great double jab. Sometimes though, he doesn't utilize the jab effectively. But a major mistake that I see from Boatsy is he lacks in defense at times. He'll drop his guard, and then he'll get hit, and then he'll remember to put back up his guard. So it's kind of like he's been trained a particular way for, like, years, and then now he's working with Virgil, so he's trying to be more defensively sound. But he has to remind himself during the fight to be defensively sound, and that could be dangerous when you're fighting guys that are harder punchers. You know, Richards – he gave this dude, like, everything. Like, literally, Richards threw, like, the kitchen sink at homeboy, and Boatsy was still standing. There was, like, maybe twice in the fight, Boatsy showed that he was actually hurt by a punch, but wasn't, like, a shot where it's like, oh, man, he's about to go spaghetti legs. He ate him, you know what I mean? And so Richards had a good performance, but he just wasn't enough, you know? And I feel like Richards isn't a great representation of a championship level fight. So I don't want to see Eddie or Joshua Boatsy jumping the gun. Virgil, please humble your mans. And Boatsy is already a humble guy naturally, right? And I will say this before I end. Yo, UK, salute to y'all. Y'all the most polite people on planet Earth. The way they were talking about each other at the end, I was like, damn, yo, they going to prom together? Like, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, these dudes were so polite and respectful. It was refreshing, man. So salute to both gentlemen. Richards, man, I do want to see more of you. You know what I mean? I hope this doesn't end your career. I hope you keep going, man. You can bounce back. And Boatsy, man, like, this is a great test for you. I thought win, lose, or draw, you're going to learn from this fight. And so you got the victory, man. So now just review the tape and, you know, correct some of those mistakes.
Dollar Bill, welcome back. What was your reaction to Joshua Boatsy versus Craig Richards?
I mean, it was what it was, you know. I'm glad I got a chance to see it. It was great. I'll say this. Boatsy, I felt like he had the more sharper punches, straight down the middle. I felt like Richards' fights was coming like more hooks and looping shots, you know. Boatsy, he had more skill, but it was good work. I wasn't like overly impressed, but shout outs to the UK. They always coming out and always showing their love and support. That I was excited to see. I was excited to see the people, you know, the people made the fight bigger. You know, it was the people that made the fight big. I don't want to rush the kid. I need to see more. People already, my brother, Gator's probably going to get into it. You know, people already stayed. We was already talking about this off camera. But I need to see more. Shoot, I wouldn't even mind if him and Craig Richards do it again. Why not? You know what I'm saying? Get them some more rounds. Get them some more tools in the toolbox before he goes ahead and try to compete against one of these real live dogs. You know, I just I think it's cool. I think it's cool, but you know, I might not do it again.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought Buatsi won. I actually scored it for a wider margin for Buatsi. I was scoring it just in case there was some controversy. I scored it 117-111 for Buatsi. Yeah, I can hear you, but you're going in and out, bro.
Yeah, you're going in and out, true.
Yeah, I scored it 117-111 for Buatsi, but the scorecards were a lot closer, and so that means they favored some of Richards' work. I felt like Richards was throwing a lot of looping punches, and he was winging shots, but I felt like the cleaner punches were being land. I'm sorry?
Yo, true. Yo, Kata, just keep going. Keep going.
I feel like the cleaner punches were being landed by Buatsi. And even when Richards would land some good shots, Buatsi would immediately come back with like a flurry or a barrage of punches where he would land some hard punches back and kind of take the play away from Craig Richards. Now, my observation of this fight was Buatsi won, but I wasn't really impressed. He got hit a lot by a guy who I don't think is as offensively skilled as some of the top tier fighters at 175. And he got hit a lot by him. As G pointed out, there were times where you can literally see him like put his hand back and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, keep my hand up. It was like he was thinking in there, and being defensively sound wasn't like second nature for him. It was more of like a task, like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. Also, I feel like Buatsi made the fight harder for himself, because Buatsi had these moments where he would just throw like these flurries, like hard punches, like a series of hard punches, like eight hard punches where he put everything he had on it. And I'm thinking, you did all that and you landed one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The exchange isn't good. All the stamina you exerted just to land one punch. And then G brought it up how he looked like he was fading in the championship rounds. Look at those exchanges where he was throwing so many hard, wild combinations. You didn't need to do that. You could have still won the round and preserved your energy to finish stronger. And I think that's something he has to learn moving forward. Because I saw so many things from him where I felt like, wow, that's a mistake. Another thing was his jab. I think he neglected his jab. And then at one point, he started being successful with it, so he started using it again. And you can hear Virgil Hunter yelling, use your jab, use your jab. And it's like he just wanted to go in there and mix it up. Even if it's bad blood, which it wasn't really bad blood, as G pointed out, it's more of a competition thing. Who's the best, you know, in the UK? Although that fight really didn't settle it, because there's a 175-pounder in the UK that I think may beat Buatsi, and his name's Anthony Yard. But we'll get into that in we can get into that in a second. But what I will say is he got the victory, but it wasn't impressive to me. You know, and we're gonna get into this in the next segment. But he may not be the best 175-pounder in the UK. I know people are like, oh, because Craig Richards gave Bivol a tough fight, a competitive fight, they're like, oh, this was for who was the best at 175 in the UK, but it wasn't. Because there's a guy named Anthony Yard, and
Lion's in the comp.
Yeah. There's a lion out there who I think is better than Craig Richards. So, you know, if Craig Richards gets another fight, maybe it is against Anthony Yard, and we'll see what Anthony Yard will do against him. But If you're asking me who's the best 175 pounder in the UK, that's still up for debate. And Buatsi, he did enough to win. He definitely won. I had it 117-111, but I'm not sold on Buatsi like most of the UK. I can hear people in the comment section saying I'm crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, blah blah blah, this or that, right? I'm just telling you, I have no ties to it. I'm from America. I just watch him fight, and I watch Anthony Yard fight. And I'm just saying, that performance doesn't tell me he's clearly better than Anthony Yard. So I don't know who's the best 175-pounder in the UK. T- to be determined. The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is Joshua Buatsi ready for Dmitry Bivol, or should he take a fight with a guy like Anthony Yard first? I'm going to turn it over to Trill Dollar Bill, because we finally got Trill back after the technical difficulties. Trill Dollar Bill, do you believe that Joshua Buatsi is ready for Bivol, or should he take on someone like Anthony Yard next?
I'm gonna be honest. He should fight that guy, Craig Richardson, again.
No, I was thinking the same thing though.
Like, you know, leave those guys alone. He's not ready yet. Not yet. And then we was talking about it, you know, due to text messages, and my response was, nah. Is he ready for those guys? Nah. He's not even ready for the guy that just left 168, and that was the number one guy at 168, and that moved to 175. He's not even ready for that guy. And that guy, to me, is going to be a problem at 175. And that's 40 Callum Smith. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People forget about Callum Smith. You know, so he just moved to 175. So y'all got another guy over there that y'all should be but this, he ain't it. Not yet. You know what I'm saying? Not yet. And you put him in there too soon, he'll be stopped real soon. Because he ain't going to make it to the 12. Y'all just want to just pump your brakes on him. Maybe he could be the future. But right now, throwing him in there with these guys, nah, he still got some things to learn. Because I don't see it.
All right, Conspiracy G.
Yeah, before I even answer this question, Eddie Hearn, please do not make Buatsi the new Dillian White, bro. Buatsi's career, man, it's all right to slow it down just a little bit, you know, like do the matchmaking a little better, you know, like when I heard Eddie say that, I was like, hold on. After this performance, you talking about you ready for Bivol? Like, oh, stop this right now. This is cap. But Eddie was so confident, like, and then Buatsi was confirming it. I was like, yo, where's Virgil Hunter to
yo, G, one quick ad lib. Eddie Hearn's like McDonald's. 99 million burgers served a day. Like, you know what I'm saying? He just serves food to the fighters.
It made no sense to me. I'm like, yo, is Eddie not watching the performance that I'm watching? You know? And to be honest with you, like, I don't even think he's ready for Yard either. You know? Like, Bivol and Yard... Nah, I think he should do the rematch with Richards. Get more rounds under your belt. And this is the difference between a Richards and a Yard. Yard, he punches harder than Richards. And with Yard, you know, although I know people may hate how Yard, he may be somewhat inactive in rounds, when he does land, he lands clean and they're real power shots. Richard, like, he had a lot of volume, but there wasn't really that much power in them shots like that. I don't know if Buatsi could take hooks and uppercuts from a Yard the way he was taken from a Richards. So it's just a real gamble. Same thing with Bivol. Now, the difference between Bivol and Richards is this. Bivol's power doesn't fade, but he knows, and the reason why is because he doesn't exert himself the way that Richards was doing or Buatsi was doing in that fight yesterday. So now it's like Buatsi, like, and it could be, I don't know if I won't say bad blood, but I felt like he was on a mission to prove something last night. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's gonna have that same strategy with Bivol. I think he'll be wiser in knowing that, hey, Bivol is a champion. I can't be too reckless. But then again, he shows a lot of in moments, he shows his inexperience, like his inability to actually make sound decisions, right? And so he kind of seems like an emotional fighter. And I don't know if Virgil could prep him in time for his next fight to be Bivol. I don't see that happening. A Yard fight, he may have a better chance, but I don't know, man. The shots that he was taking from Richards, if Yard lands those shots, man, I think this dude's going to get dropped, you know? So I think he should do another fight with Richards, you know, and this time make it where it's like it's a definitive victory, right? Like, hey, I'm gonna knock this dude out, possibly in the later rounds, to show like, hey, I was just getting acclimated to all of these rounds. Now I'm ready to move up to a yard. Because I don't know if he's ready for Bivol. You know what I'm saying? And so I just think, Eddie, I don't know what you're doing right now with this guy. I don't know why you like to fast forward everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, do, you know what? What you're doing with Conor Benn, do that for Bawachi, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing a good job with Conor Benn. Do the same thing with this young man. Like, don't jump the gun and try to get this dude executed for no reason. It's not fair, man. Like, this kid, he got skills. He just needs to fine-tune him. He's like around, he's almost there. I'm telling you, he's almost there. Give him like two more fights and then he'll be ready. Well, I don't know if he'll win, but he'll be at least ready for a championship fight. I'll say that. In two more fights.
All right, let's do it like this. Is he ready for Dmitry Bivol? Hell no. Hell no. He's not ready for Bivol. And you can make the argument that Craig Richards gave Bivol a hard time, but that was during the pandemic. And there were a lot of upsets during the pandemic. And trust me, one of the biggest upsets during the pandemic is that, like, you know, I put on weight and the gyms were closed. So the gyms open up.
Hold on. You know who else put on weight during the pandemic? David Benavidez. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
That's where he lost.
I know. Hey, I'm not judging a brother because it happened to a lot of people, you know. But what I would say is this: when I during the pandemic, right, I put on weight and I went to play basketball with some of like the young kids who I would normally like school, and it would be easy work. Like, you know, all people do my thing, bro. It wasn't as easy. My first step wasn't getting me the distance that it would normally get me. And so they were sitting there, whatever. And then, you know, as the gyms were open, and then I end up getting back to myself, I went in there rolling it, dunking it again. And then them kids were like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. Just to let y'all know, it was a fluke. I just wasn't in shape.
You young.
And I say all that to say this. That's what happened with Dmitry Bivol. Like when he fought Craig Richards, he wasn't in the best shape. It was the pandemic. He went to get a check, and Craig Richards happened to be better than he thought. Well, Caden, how do you know this? Because I saw what he did against Canelo. That guy who fought Canelo was not in the ring with Craig Richards.
Exactly.
That was a different guy. It was a completely different guy. So that's how I know that Craig Richards didn't get the best Dmitry Bivol. Now, you take Dmitry Bivol that I saw fight Canelo, and you put him in the ring with Joshua Buatsi, and I'm telling you right now, he cook him. He cook him. Overcommitting to punches? Look at what happened when Canelo overcommitted to punches. Now, I know some of you may convince yourself that Buatsi's better than Canelo. I don't know. Or would have a better chance than Canelo. I don't know. Maybe. Based on what, how, I don't know. But Canelo's a very skilled fighter. Number one on most pound-for-pound list going into that fight. Buatsi never sniffed a pound-for-pound list. And when Canelo would mess up, Bivol made Canelo pay. So what's he going to do to Buatsi? The question shouldn't be, is Joshua Buatsi ready for Bivol? It should be, is Joshua Buatsi ready for Anthony Yard? To me, because if he fights Anthony Yard the way that he fought Craig Richards, I think Anthony Yard would beat him. Y'all can laugh at Anthony Yard, but he's been in the ring with better opposition than Buatsi. I know y'all like Buatsi because he won a bronze medal. You saw him win a bronze medal in the Olympics. But in the pros, who's his toughest opponent that he's faced? Craig Richards? You think Craig Richards is better than the Kovalev that Anthony Yard fought? Anthony Yard was beating? Wasn't confident he would get the decision. So Tunde Ajayi told him, empty the tank. in the eighth round. So he goes and he tries to knock out Kovalev, doesn't succeed, and then Kovalev stops him later. People question that instruction. But if you look at it and you're like, yo, I'm fighting in his country, I'm in his backyard, I believe I'm up on the scorecards, but I'm not confident I'm gonna get the decision. He's fading. That's not bad instruction to say, don't leave it to the judges. Take him out now. And Anthony Yard almost did that. So Anthony Yard somehow gets judged critically. I don't understand why the UK don't like Anthony Yard. But I'm gonna tell you this, as a kid from the USA who watched that fight, I think Anthony Yard would beat Buatsi, especially off of what I saw last night. Not only do I think Anthony Yard would beat Buatsi, I think Lyndon Arthur would beat Buatsi. I think Lyndon Arthur would. What do you think, G? I think Lyndon Arthur would beat Buatsi. You don't think Lyndon Arthur would beat Buatsi?
Nah, man, that dude had like, doesn't he need like shoulder surgery, man? He has like one arm, bro.
If he was himself, like I'm saying, like let him get back. Lyndon Arthur who beat Anthony Yard in the first fight, who got the decision in the first fight.
You see, that's a great point. Buatsi will get dominated by the first Yard. I mean, the first Arthur in the Yard fight because he just maintained the distance. And Buatsi, I don't understand this guy, man. It's just he doesn't like to go back to the fundamentals of the jab. Arthur's pretty good at the jab. I think Buatsi would lose by decision in that fight, in that first one. But then the second one, Arthur was fighting pretty much one-handed and got smacked.
I don't believe that. I believe that Anthony Yard changed the strategy, got inside, was more aggressive. But, hey, whatever's whatever, right? The bottom line is, there's still dispute to me who's the best 175-pounder in the UK. And his performance last night doesn't make me say, oh, that Buatsi. It doesn't. So, I mean, he's a good fighter. He has potential. He needs more fights. He needs more polish. He needs more preparation. And like G said, then maybe he can compete with a Bivol. But at this particular point in time, asking if he can beat Bivol or if he's ready for Bivol is setting him up for failure. That's just my opinion. Next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is the Floyd Mayweather exhibition. And that's exactly what it was. He was doing a little bit of everything, commentary, carrying the ring cards, dancing, arguing with. He did everything in this exhibition. I think the guy's name was Don Moore that he was fighting against, an old sparring partner, Trill Dollar Bill. What was your reaction to the Floyd Mayweather exhibition?
You know, Floyd, you know, one of the easiest robberies ever. Never in the whole time. You know, he went in there, he took some money, and he helped the old buddy on the way. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I looked at the exhibition, you know. Shout out to his old sparring buddy, Darren Moore, that, you know, he hooked up with some cash, you know. That's how I looked at it. You know, Floyd always taking care of his friends. People don't always, you know, they don't acknowledge that. But Floyd, you know, threw a bag to his man. Hopefully he get the money. I'm not mad. It was good to see Floyd again. You know, seeing Floyd in the ring always makes me smile. But it is what it is. It was just an exhibition, and it was just that, an exhibition.
All right, Kasphere G.
To be honest with you, I wasn't really impressed.
You was really critiquing the fight, dude.
Like, there's a lot of going on.
He didn't use the jab coming in.
No, listen. I'm not trying to sound like a jerk or nothing. But when Floyd did his exhibition against Logan Paul, there was like a threat possible because Logan's just way bigger than Floyd. So that was the entertainment factor. It's like, oh, could Logan pull this off? There was no threat at all in this match last night. I was just like, yo, this is trash, bro. Like,
it was kind of like when Floyd went to Japan. You remember when Floyd went to Japan?
It was trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, but at least with the Japan one, Floyd was quick to knock homeboy out. This one, I'm like, I'm watching Floyd just carry homies. I'm like, yo, come on, Floyd. Like, stop doing this, man. Like, yo, it doesn't matter what round you beat him in. You're going to get paid regardless. Take your man out early, bro, and then y'all can have drinks afterwards or something. You know what I mean? Like, to be honest with you, the highlight of the night for me had nothing to do with Mayweather. It was literally when one of the commentators confirmed that AJ and Usyk's rematch is going to be in Saudi Arabia, whatever they said. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, all right, so that's going to be a huge big money fight over there. So that's the only thing that was a highlight for me. The fight was boring. Didn't really care for it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I wasn't impressed at all. Shout out to Floyd for making easy money. But I don't know, man. Floyd, you got to do, like, circus performances. Like, if you're going to do an exhibition, it got to be against, like, a dude that's, like, a heavyweight or a light heavyweight or a cruiserweight or something. Make it interesting. Like, that guy was just no threat at all. So I was just like, what am I doing, man? You know what I mean? But salute to Floyd, man. Like, he's still getting money somewhere. Somewhere, somebody's still willing to pay to watch him play with his food.
I don't know how I felt about it. And G,
you felt,
I
mean, like me. It's all right. You can say it.
You know what? You said what?
You felt just like me. It's cool.
Nah. I didn't feel like you. I think it got confirmed that Joshua Usyk rematch is going to be in Dubai.
Oh, yeah. One of them countries.
Also known as Dubai, according to the people from our last live. But, yeah, let's get into this, though. Gee, I didn't expect this dude to have a shot at beating Floyd. Let's be realistic. This is his former sparring partner. His former sparring partner who's been inactive since forever. Remember, Floyd is arguably TBE, the best ever, right? And, you know, he's been inactive, but he's been doing exhibition. He's been training. That guy's just been inactive. So, like, I don't know. Like, you know, and Floyd is a type of fighter who always kept himself in shape. For all the people who want to emulate Floyd and, you know, people say, oh, Floyd picked and chose his fights, so he did this and he did that. The one thing Floyd did was stay in shape year round. You never saw Floyd out drunk. You never saw Floyd embarrassing himself doing those things. You never saw that. I mean, yeah, you saw Floyd's name come up on the ticker saying he was involved in some incidents, but you never actually saw it. There wasn't video of him acting a fool. So people miss that. When they try to act like Floyd never cheated the sport of boxing. That's the one thing I can say. So when you see Floyd in these exhibitions, right, against someone his age, Floyd was already fresh for his age when he was 40. Look at what he was doing. Look at what he was doing to Canelo at his age. Look at what he was doing to some of these other fighters at his age. People don't understand. Robert Garcia. The trainer was a champion around the same time as Floyd Money Mayweather. And when he fought Marcos Medina, he was fighting one of the best fighters in his division, being trained by a guy who started boxing around the same time, who went professional around the same time as he did. That's the type of beast that Floyd Mayweather was in boxing. Like, he's outlasting people's careers. That's the type of beast he was. So you put him in the exhibition against someone his age, I'm not expecting it to be competitive. So what did I think about the exhibition? It's good. The people in Dubai got a chance to see Floyd. And I think that's really what it was all about.
That's true.
You hear the commentary, they're talking about Floyd. Oh, when he does psychological warfare, and Floyd's like, I do that. In the middle of the exhibition, I'm just like, this dude's crazy. He did that before. Yeah, he did that before in a fight. I can't remember the fight, but they were talking about the Super Bowl when Floyd was like, I like the Patriots. And then he went back. Yeah. And then he went back to fighting. Like, he's done that. And so this exhibition, I think, was, you know, it was a spectacle. I don't know what those people paid. I don't know whatever. But for me, it just was like, I knew what it was going to be. Floyd beating up on his old sparring partner. That's what it was. Now, the question is, are those people satisfied with what they paid for or whatever? But like Trill said, it was a robbery. It was a huge robbery. Floyd did that, didn't even break a sweat.
That's what I'm saying.
Went in there and just, you know, took apart Don Moore. And shout out to Don Moore, man, you know.
Don Moore got a bag.
He did all he could do. I mean, it did look like he was trying to land on Floyd. It looked like he was trying. It didn't look like he went in there to lay down. He just couldn't do it. And Floyd, you know, salute to Floyd, man. If people want to pay you for, you know, somewhat of a world tour to see you, you know, spar with or beat up on, hey, why not? You earned it. You Floyd Money Mayweather. I'm not mad at it. I didn't pay for it, so whatever. I just watched the highlights, you know. So,
yeah,
so
he paid his dues. He paid his dues.
Yeah. Like, on the world tour. He's going to go on the world tour.
Exactly. If he want to go on the world tour.
Just to see him fight before.
Around. Yeah, exactly. If he want to do that, I'm okay with it. So it is what it is.
You know what I'm saying? Next stop, Africa.
All right. Oh, man. The belt's coming back to the States, baby. All of them.
Hi, y'all ready?
We should have had that on camera. That should have been it. The belts is coming back to the state.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is Devin Haney's dad, Bill Haney, was denied a visa to go to Australia because he has a felony on his record from the 90s, I believe 1996, from the article I read, he got involved in some drug stuff and he ended up catching a felony and had to do some time. So he wasn't allowed to go into Australia. I'm going to turn it over to you, Conspira G. What's your reaction to that? And do you think that it will have a negative impact on Devin Haney's performance?
No, it will not. It's unfortunate, but no, it will not. To be honest with you, this is even better for Haney because it's a better storyline when he goes over there by himself and takes them belts and brings it back to the States.
He's not by himself. He's with Ben Davison.
Anyways, listen. He ain't there, so he's going by himself. Everybody keeps disrespecting him. Talking about, oh, when I need to talk to Devin Haney, I'm going to talk to his father. They making all these jokes on Twitter about this dude. Man, listen, go over there, take the belt. Your father done trained you all he can anyways. He done provided you the best trainers around in boxing. He's prepared you for this moment. All you got to do is go over there, smash Kambosos, and then become the real undisputed champion and bring it back. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even think that's really going to phase Devin. I think Devin is that focused. Listen, he agreed to all the terms that Kambosos asked for. You know what I mean? So a person that focused, if his father can't make the fight, man, it's cool, Dad. Don't worry. Yo. Watch it on television. I'm going to go to this trip, get this easy money, and bring back all the gold. That's what's going to actually happen, right? So, and not to mention, Devin Haney right now is the favorite for this fight. So, if anything, this may sway a few people. Like, oh, my God, maybe he's distraught. I don't know. Maybe I should gamble on Kambosos. I just don't see it, man. You know what I mean? Like, and I like Kambosos. I really do. But Devin Haney, man, I'm telling you, he's a sound fighter. Like, defensively sound. All he has to do is just play it safe. People may be like, oh, it's going to be boring. Hey, it is what it is, man. Kambosos is entertaining. So that evens it out. You don't have to go crazy on a Kambosos. All you got to do is just win on points to take them belts. You know what I mean? Now, the only thing, though, is you in Australia. So that may not be enough. I don't know if Devin should go for the knockout. But if you want to seal the deal, you might have to. You know what I mean? Because this has to be a convincing victory because I think they're going to try to rob him. I'm pretty sure they're going to try to rob him. But that robbery was going to happen with or without his daddy being present. You know what I'm saying? So all you got to do is just focus in on winning You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure his father, like, obviously his dad wants to be there. You know, what father wouldn't want to be there? But they understand, man. It's just, this is just how the cookie crumbles sometimes, man. You know what I mean? Just make sure you focus and you just win them belts. Become the real undisputed. Shut down all your haters around the world and just come home with the gold. That's it.
All right, Dollar Bill.
Oh, man. Boxing Bros World Tour on hold. That's all I'm saying. Tell my people down under, your day mate Trail will not be able to come and visit. I can't believe y'all doing Bill Haney like this. This is old stuff. You know? We done changed our lives around. Y'all gonna hold it for old stuff? Now my people down under. That don't sound like my people showing us all the love in the comment section. All the people from Australia show us nothing but love. So hopefully they'll let your boy Trill Dollar Bill slide through. G, I feel you, G. Everything that you were saying, I failed you. You know what I'm saying? I was able to walk with you. But there's something in the back of my mind that just kept hitting me. And it was, that's why I flipped my cap around. I was like, you know, Leo Santa Cruz. That's what I thought about. Leo Santa Cruz. Remember when Leo Santa Cruz was doing this thing, he couldn't be messed with. He was beating everybody. Until that one fateful day where his dad couldn't be in his corner. See, he was prepared for this moment. Leo was under the lights, had big fights. He was prepared for this moment. His dad had him prepared for this moment. But his dad was battling with his cancer, and he couldn't be there. And we see how Leo Santa Cruz couldn't adapt. It seemed like something was wrong. He was shelled. He was like, he was looking over, and the person that he was used to seeing wasn't there. Like, we know that Bill Haney has hooked Devin up with the best trainers, and we know that Devin is a phenomenal boxer. He's been under the tutelage of Floyd Joy Mayweather Sr., you know? He learned the best from the best, you know? There's no contest, you know?
The best trainer of all time.
Best trainer of all time, you know what I'm saying?
Not half-time, part-time.
all time, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but he always had his daddy there with him. He can always look over and see that familiar face. So hopefully that doesn't play a part in this situation. I think it sucks because, you know, I promote this on this show all the time. I'm a big promoter of a second chance, especially if Bill Haney did nothing in like over a decade. He should be allowed to be by side his son during this big fight. It's a work visa. So, I think that something needs to be done, man, with these rules, man. They land allowing other things now. I think that this is something they should allow too, especially with certain circumstances. I think it's just hard on him. He should be next to his boy. I'll be hurt. My baby got a chance to go out here and fight for undisputed. I can't be by his side for some old stuff, and I'm gonna change my life around for my children, for everything. I'll be hurt. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. I feel bad for Bill Haney, but hopefully Devin can go in there and take care of business. But I know it's going to definitely affect him in some type of way, especially when you're used to seeing that man ringside all the time.
You know what? Hold on. I'd like to say this. Eddie Hearn, do your job. to make this. I know Eddie can make a call.
Eddie's not a part of this fight.
For real?
Yeah, Devin's not with Eddie right now. He signed a 3-fight deal with ESPN, I believe.
Eddie let him do it. Eddie wasn't trying to hold nobody. Eddie trying to let people
in. Salute to Eddie Hearn, man. Listen, you got to give him that type of credit. He let him go and just say, yo, do you?
I'll be here when you grab those belts.
That's right. Respect.
Yeah, because they're going to be that fight, the rematch, and then I think, you know, I don't know what the third fight's supposed to be, but yeah, he got a 3-fight deal with ESPN right now. So that fight's going to be on ESPN, actually. They were promoted it on their card that they had on yesterday. But so for me, I think, wow, you know, I can understand not wanting to allow people with felonies into your country. You know, but at the same time, this is a visa for a fight. And G brought up the point. Ben Davidson has been in his camp. Ben Davidson's a trainer, so he can get in shape and get prepared for the fight without his dad being there. But you couldn't get this man a visa for a day. The day of the fight, he flies out and he can be escorted by someone. You can have police with him the whole time if you want. He goes to the arena. He's in his son's corner. Immediately after, he goes and catches a flight back. He couldn't even do that for the guy. This isn't normal circumstances. Like, normally when someone comes into your country, they are on a work visa. They're coming to work, like, a job, a regular job. This is an event. It's a one-day thing, really. So, I mean, it's like you can just have someone chaperone this dude if you're really that worried. Although his charge really isn't, it's a drug charge, he said. Now, that's what he said. I haven't seen his record, so I'm just going off what he said. It's a drug charge that's a felony, which in America, the war on drugs, if you know the history of America, there's a war on drugs. The war on drugs ended when drugs was in the hand of certain types of people who looked a certain type of way. But when the drugs was in the hands of other people, there was a war on drugs. The war on drugs ended and became, the sickness of drugs later on. Drug addiction became a disability later on. But at the time when Bill Haney caught his drug charge and so many other people in the 90s caught drug charges, it was a war on drugs. And you got way more time for the same amount of for possession of crack cocaine than cocaine itself.
Got more time.
Yeah, you got more time. For if you had 5 grams of crack and you have 5 grams of cocaine, the 5 grams of crack could get the book thrown at you. And the 5 grams of cocaine get you a slap on the wrist. But that's the war on drugs in America. Although they're probably aware of that in Australia. Maybe not, I don't know. Right? But to prevent him from being there, knowing that he's a huge part of what his son does, I mean, he's always been in the corner, he's always there. I do think there was an exception that could have been made. This isn't the type of job where he needed to be in Australia for a year, right? And he was going to be running around Australia freely and you weren't going to be able to keep tabs on him. You know what he's doing. He's going to the airport. He's going to a gym. He's going to a hotel. And if you don't want to let him in for an extended period of time, you could have given him a one-day visa.
Or made him pay for his own escort.
Yeah. And make him pay for police detail to follow him around and escort him around and bring him back to the airport. Yeah. You couldn't even let him in for one day. Like, that's the thing that gets me. I remember, I can't remember which Darrell it was. It was either Anthony Darrell or Andre Darrell, and they were fighting in, I think, Canada. And their granddad couldn't come in to the country because of a charge he had years ago. This is an old dude now, old reform guy, couldn't be there. So they had like shirts made with his face on it. And I just think like this is boxing at the end of the day. And, you know, Devin's going to have to power through it and he's going to have to get through it. And I think he can, you know, although Trill pointed out something that's important, too. You never know how you're going to respond to that until you're actually in the moment. Leading up to the moment, you can feel like I'm good. I'm built for this. But what if he gets caught or he gets in a situation he's never been in and he looks to see his dad and his dad's not there? That can play a role. Even look at Tony Harrison. Tony Harrison came back after his dad died and his brother was in the corner and he really didn't have a good performance in that comeback fight. You know, because he's trying, but his dad wasn't there. Look at Jarrett Hurd. Jarrett Hurd lost his dad before that Luis fight, before the fight with Luis Arias. And he went in there thinking he can, and he had a bad performance. These things happen. Anthony Yard. Anthony Yard lost so many people in his family, went in the ring, tried to have a fight, thought he can get through it, and didn't do his best. And then later on, you saw in the rematch with Lyndon Arthur how he was able to. So, you know, these things, the way they can impact you, you never really know until it's in the moment. But I think Devin's starving. I think Devin's hungry. And we'll see. I could be wrong. I just think he's better than Kambosos. I think Kambosos, and salute to Australia. I'm not trying to, you know, I feel like people take things and make it. I'm not down in Australia. Australia, you got to do what you got to do. But I think context matters. I think the fact that it's been like, what, 30 years since he's, if it's 2006, it's almost 30 years. I mean, if it's 1996, it's almost 30 years since that incident, right? So almost 30 years has gone by. He has no incidents, no nothing. He's not asking for a visa to be in your country for years. He's asking for a visa to be there for, what, 2 weeks?
Yo, and this is the irony of this all, though. The history of Australia, remember, the country was founded by convicted criminals from England being sent over there. So at the very least, the spirit of your country, you know, allowed a second chance. Why not give that brother a second chance to support his son during that one fight? I don't know. It's kind
of history fact, G.
Look at G getting deep with it. You know,
sweet, I see you, G.
if we had that emoji, if we had that meme, we would put it out right here. Right. That. But nah, in all seriousness, I do think that we have to stop looking at these when we're talking about boxing matches that are taking place in these countries where people, one, has it been over a decade since the crime? Has it been over 2 decades since the crime? Hell, we're approaching 3 decades since that crime, right? The other thing is, how long is this person going to be in your country? 2 weeks is how long he would have been in Australia, right? But fine, if you feel like that's too long, say, look, we're going to grant you a visa. You can come in the night before the fight, and you have to leave the night after the fight. And while you're here, you have to report to whatever, you know, like probation or to police detail, this or that, or whatever. Yo, I think that's fair on both sides. I think it's fair for you to say, we'll let you in your country, but you have these restrictions. Mm-hmm. You need to report here. You need to report there. You need to do this. You need to do that. And now that's fair.
That's fair.
I think he would have agreed to that.
Yeah, that is completely fair, bro, and I totally agree with that. But what's not as fair is if you do your time for these drug offenses and you're still being convicted after. That's what I think is not fair. You know what I'm saying? It's been how many years later, and he's still being punished for something from some years ago that he already did his time for, and it's unfair.
Yeah, so just for me to wrap it up, on my end, it's unfortunate. I understand that rules are rules, and I understand that things are put in play and things are put in place. But sometimes I feel like we're really hiding behind the spirit of like bad rules that we know need to be changed and things that we know should be done differently. And this is one of those things where I feel like Bill Haney should be able to see his son fight for Undisputed. There. Imagine your kid graduating from Oxford University, your kid graduating from a top college, and you can't attend your own kid's graduation because 26 years ago, you sold a bag of weed, or you sold some crack or whatever. You know what I mean? The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is comments made by Terrence Bud Crawford on the Porter Way podcast, which you can find on YouTube. So if you haven't, subscribe to the Porter Way, and let's take a listen at what Terrence Crawford had to say while he was on the Porter Way. And this is from the ESPN Ringside on Instagram. Oops.
Yeah, and you know, I get to go back. Man, I just can't wait to the contract gets signed.
Yeah,
and you know, I get to go to training camp, and you know, just picture myself walking down that aisle to put on a great show, because you know, I know me, you know, and I've been waiting for this moment all my life, you know, and to show everybody that doubt me who Terrence Crawford is. Yeah. And, you know, it's right there. It's right there. Man, I just can't wait to the contract.
So that's what Terrence Crawford had to say about his fight with Errol Spence. He said he can't wait for the contract to be signed. He can't wait to walk there to the ring. And he's been waiting for this moment his whole life. So he's saying he can't wait for it. When you hear that, what's your reaction? And does that make you feel more confident that this fight will actually take place? G.
Oh yeah. I'm already confident that this is going to happen, you know, this year. But salute to TC for actually being featured on that episode. You know, like, he was only there for like a thing, like maybe like 10 minutes max. But, you know, one of the co-hosts asked him, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it. You know what I mean? So that was actually dope. He didn't have to do it, but he just did it off with the strength. So salute to TC for that. But, you know, there's been so much talk around, you know, the boxing world about this fight that it just would be a shame if it doesn't happen this year. So I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. You know, the way Spence has been talking, the way TC has been talking, it's definitely going to happen. So, you know, it sounds like, you know, both parties are actually are in, like, you know, good space for this fight. So, yeah, so I believe, man, that TC wants this fight. I believe Spence wants this fight. And it's going to happen real soon, man. So I'm excited for it.
Dollar Bill.
I can't wait until they make the fight neither. You know, I've been hearing them discuss this. Hopefully they can make the fight happen this year, but I don't know. I really don't know. I believe it when I see it. That's where it's starting to come to. I believe it when I see it. Everything is sounding the right way. Next thing you know, he might be fighting Danny and Earl might be fighting Keith. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I'd want them to fight each other, but I'm not going to believe it until, like TC said, until he sees the contract and the contract is signed.
No, I agree with both of you. I think the energy is different from both Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, and to me, that's a good sign. TC's not saying, oh, it can't happen, and I don't care about the fight, like he was saying beforehand. He's saying, like, I can't wait for this fight to be signed. Like, I've been waiting for this. And Errol Spence is saying he wants that last strap. He wants to fight. They're not bashing each other on social media, trying to point fingers like the fight isn't happening for you because of you. The fight isn't happening because of you. At least not yet, like you said, Trill. So that puts me in a good mood. I'm also happy to see TC doing media, which brings me to another point. If they really want to make this fight happen this year and they're serious about it, why not get the jump on media right now? Why not start doing the circuit now? Just to make it easier for you to train when it's time to train. So that way you don't have to do, like, jump on it right now. Like, look, this is when you take over yourself and you take over your career and you realize that, like, you're about to have a mega fight coming. You think the mega fight's really coming. This is when TC's supposed to have someone booking him to get on, like, the Jimmy Kimmel show, booking him to try to get on this show, booking him to try to get him on ESPN, get him on some of the shows on Fox, get him on, you know, get him on. He's been on a Breakfast Club. Get him on a Breakfast Club again. Get them on these popular outlets where they start talking up the fight like it's coming. Because if it's really coming, if they're really serious and they're really about to get it done, start that promotion now. Get the world talking about it now. So, you know, it's a good sign. I'm happy to hear it from TC. I'm happy to hear it from Spence. But, you know, like Trill said, I'm waiting for the contract to get signed as well, because then finally we will have a conclusion to this debate, and that will make me happy as well. The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros are comments that TC made while he was on the podcast, The Porter Way. He said that he wants Charlo at the Spence. And so we're going to take a listen to that, which is up. We're going to be watching. Oh, gosh.
I'm always 100%.
Okay. 2022?
Huh? This year for sure?
This year. This
okay.
Year. Okay.
In this Vegas.
Year. And like I said, I meant what I said. Once I beat Spence, if Charlo don't move up, I'm coming for him.
Ooh. You didn't see the fight last night?
No, I didn't see the fight. Hey, I was here, but I heard he won.
He like did his thing.
10 round knockout. Yeah. You know, congratulations to Charlo.
You want the whole camp.
You know, but, you know, he on my hit list.
How confident is that?
So, Terrence Crawford says he's confident that he's going to get the Spence fight this year. Then he says after that, if Charlo is still at 154, he's next and that he's on his hit list. Kaspira G, what's your reaction to those comments?
Like I said, I meant what I said. Let's make it happen, Captain. You know what I'm saying? Listen, hey, TC, you got nothing but respect for me, man. I believe every word he said. I don't think he dug in any smoke. I believe if he gets through Spence, he's going to definitely go after Charlo. I love to hear this type of stuff, man. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure Al would love to make those fights happen. So this is good for TC, man. I'm telling you, hey, I'm excited, man. You know, like, and think about the buildup, the trash talk that's going to happen in that fight. Oh, man, it's going to be classic, man. Them press conferences, it's going to be a good time, man. So, hey, man, I'm just happy TC is now finally free to roam these PBC streets, man. So it's going to be a good time, man. But I definitely believe him. I think he wants to smoke with Spence and with Charlo. You know what I mean? Shoot, he might even call out the other Charlo. Just saying, that's how he's feeling right now. You know what I mean?
All right, true dollar bill.
I said this long, long time ago. That if TC couldn't get that fight with Earl, he would go up to 154. There's been I don't know what the energy's been, but it's been an energy between these two guys a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? With TC and Jermell Charlo. I don't know whatever happened, but there's been talks a long time ago with him talking about he's going up there and fighting him. And if this fight don't happen, I think it's a possibility he could possibly fight Earl before he even fight Charlo. You never know how with boxing goes, you know? I like it. I like the energy from TC. You know, TC's a big, strong welterweight. You know what I'm saying? Used to be a wrestler. You know, so he feel well against the guy at 154. I would love to see it. I like the energy, but you know, if the fight gets happens with Spence, remember you gotta get past Spence first. You know, see what happens, and that's not gonna be no easy. You know what I'm saying? Easy fight. So. Hey, I just love his energy, you know? TC's bringing that energy.
BOMAG tell it, though. BOMAG sound like they're going to run through Spence, man. That sounds crazy, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you know, talking is one thing. Talking is one thing, you know? What Iron say? What Iron Mike say? Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Well, we'll see. They got a great plan. Let's just see what happens during that fight. One step first, though, you know, we'll see if they can make this Earl Spence fight happen first. You know, if they can, because nothing is in concrete yet, nothing is set in stone yet. So until they make that happen, we'll see. But hey, I love the energy. I'm not mad at TC at all. I love that energy. And he been had Charlo on his hit list.
Mike Tyson also said something else. Mike Tyson said, "Sign the contract, big boy. Sign the contract." So that's what I'm saying to TC. Now look, right? You judge people based on their character, right? For me, that's what I do. So if someone talks all the time and all they do is talk, but they never deliver, I don't see that person as reliable. Right? Because all they do is talk, but they never deliver. Right? And I don't give that person credit for the things they say. Now, if there's someone who talks, but they always come through and they always deliver, then when they talk, I say, okay, you know what? This person typically accomplishes what they said. Say, give a Tyson Fury, for example. So when Fury says certain things, I'll be like, okay. Even when he says his nonsense, we talk about it. Because it's like, yo, it's this sounds like nonsense, but every now and then, Fury hits you with something and he does it. This with TC, though. I've been hearing TC wants to fight this guy for the longest time. TC wants to fight that guy for the longest time. But the best person I've seen him fight is Sean Porter in his last fight before retirement. That's what it is. So this will go a long it would go a long way if he does sign a contract. So say he made this statement after he already signed the contract, I'd be like, yeah, I love this from TC right now, right? But at this particular point in time, to me, it just sounds like the same old song. It's the same old song and dance. It's the same old song. Yeah, you want Spence, and then after that, you want Charlo, and then after that, you want Canelo at 168 too. Let's not forget, he said he was going to go up to 160 to fight Canelo at one point. He said that at one point too. So he say a lot. But I like the fact that he's saying that he believes the fight can happen in 2022. He's not acting like it's not a possibility. So I like that. Go ahead, G.
You ever heard of two truths and a lie, bro? You know what I'm saying?
Two truths. Spence and Charlo the lie. Canelo at 160.
Canelo, hell no. He bugging. You know what I mean?
But I like the fact that he is not shooting down the possibility of an Errol Spence fight in the future. But G, you said something that I think is what all this is going to boil down to. You said you're glad he's free to roam these PBC streets. And he's going to have to sign a contract with PBC. Remember, I've been saying this for the longest time. I think he's going to have to sign like a 3-fight deal, 4-fight deal even, where he's going to fight Errol Spence. He's going to fight Errol Spence again. And then if he emerges victorious or he's the last man standing in that battle, he's going to move up and wait, and he's going to fight Jermell Charlo for Undisputed. But those are fights with PBC, which brings me to my next point. It would be career suicide to not try to work out something with PBC. That's why the whole across the street beef and the whole PBC beef, it's like, yo, if you want to see this fight, it has to be deaded. Like, it just needs to die. TC and top rank, you know, they could do so much. They could only do so much because they didn't have the titles. They didn't have the fighters at 140, but at 147. But at 147, PBC has the whole stable. And he'd get his option of any of them. They also have 154 on lock. So he'd get his option at Jermell if he wanted to. And just for jokes, but Trill said it. If G may have said it, I don't remember, but he could move up to 160 and try to take on Jermall if he wanted to. But PBC got that too. When all is said and done for him, I think the best thing for him to do is to work out a deal with PBC. So once the news breaks that he signs a contract with PBC, that's when I'll take everything he's saying seriously. Until then, it's just the same old song, and I've heard it before. Oh, and TC's the most dangerous one because TC's one of the fighters who gets credit for things he's never done. Even in the comment section, bro, when his fans argue with me, they say, yeah, and if TC beats Earl, there goes that if. And if TC beats Earl and goes up, and if he beats Jermall Charlo, then he's going to beat again. Things that's never happened before. TC's world is the what if world. It's the world of what if. It's the world of speculation. It's the world of that sounds good, but I never get that delivered. TC been selling dreams for a long time. It could all end with signing the contract. That's why the last video, I said I like what he said. I like when he said he can't wait for the contract to be signed. This video, I don't really care for what he said because it's the same old song. Oh, I'm going to beat Errol Spence, then I'm going to go up, and then I'm going to beat Jermell Charlo, and then I'm going to go to 160, and I'm going to beat Canelo, and then I'm going to go to heavyweight and challenge Usyk. I don't care about that, yo. Just sign the contract. Once you sign the contract and that Errol Spence fight is signed, still delivered, then I'm going to get excited. I'm excited about that. talk about Jermell might move up because there ain't nothing left for him to do at 154. Jermell might say, why don't you go to 154 after you're done with 147 and collect the belt yourself like I did? Because TC is, there's a pattern. TC's letting everyone collect the belts and then he's stepping in for one fight to try to take them. The next topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is our predictions for Gervonta Tank Davis versus Rolando Rolly Romero. We're giving our predictions for this fight, and it just hit me why Ned the TBE isn't here, because he has a weird obsession with Gervonta Tank Davis, a weird one. And he understands that Gervonta Tank Davis is in the fight of his life, the fight of his career. He didn't want to have to face the music here today on the Boxing Bros. Because Spirit G, who you got, Gervonta Tank Davis or Rolly?
All right, listen. I got Tank. Now, I got Tank by 6-round knockout. Walk me on this. Rolly is going to bring it round one. He's going to come out the gate swinging with hard punches, which it's going to be dangerous for Tank, but it's good because after a while, Rolly's going to get exhausted and he's going to leave himself open. And we already know Rolly has horrible footwork. So all Tank has to do is be patient and disciplined. He's going to see the opening. And I believe around like the 5th round is when Rolly's going to be really tired. And he's going to probably take a little steam off. By the 6th, he's out of there. You know what I mean? So I got Tank, knockout. I'm going to say by uppercut. 6-round knockout by uppercut. Boom.
All right, G. So the last time we were talking about this, you said that Rolly was flat out food. You said that he was a hot pocket Cuban. He was a Cuban hot pocket Cubano. So are we still getting food with this one, G? I want to know. Are we getting food for this fight, G? Let us know, Chef G.
This is going to be... it's difficult only because if Tank fights emotional, it's going to be a real hard fight for him. Tank just has to box. Just box. Don't let Rolly do all these antics, all the stuff that he's been saying, all that. Man, ignore all of that. Because if he fights emotional, then he's going to get violated. But if he sticks to the game plan, man, we eating Cuban, bro. You know what I'm saying? We going to eat Cuban easy. If my man get emotional, I don't know if he could digest that Cuban food. So just play it straight. Play it by the book. Box. All you got to do is box. Rolly's the emotional one. Rolly's the one that doesn't really know how to box, but he has a lot of power. But he's going to get tired. Come on. You seen his public trainings and stuff when he was hitting the mitts. This dude's only going for power shots. He don't care about nothing else. Like, Rolly is letting it be known.
That's what he wanted you to see, G. That's what he wanted you to see, G.
That's the only thing.
Come on now, G.
No. That's the only thing he can show. We acting like we didn't see his last 3 fights. It's always the same thing with Rolly. It's just power,
hold on,
power.
G, he was young then, G. He's older now, G. More skilled now, G.
God bless. All I know is this. Rolly is good at bullying people in the ring, shoving people in the ring, and he got good power shots. But again, Tank is a better boxer. All Tank has to do is utilize his boxing. He'll take him out of there. You know what I mean? He's gonna have to weather the storm, though. Let's just keep it real. He might have to eat some shots, but as long as he's defensively sound, Rolly's gonna get tired, and that's when you come in with an uppercut, silence your man's. And it's over. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this. If Rolly did win, hey, salute to Rolly, because you know he's going to make it epic. You know what I mean? And he's going to talk gorilla trash. You know how he is, man. This dude calls out everybody and their moms. So I'll be curious to see who he calls out after he beats Tank. I don't think he's going to beat Tank, but if he does, I'm just curious to see his next few moves, man. Because you know Rolly in his mind, he already thinks he's a megastar. So it's going to be an entertaining fight, man. I just wish they had this fight, though, still in Baltimore. I don't know why they're doing it in New York. I feel like the energy would be way higher in Baltimore than in New York. But whatever. Nonetheless, man, you know, Tank, feed the streets wherever you got to go, man. Just do it.
All right, Dollar Bill.
Shout outs to Rolly. Rolly talked his way into pay-per-view. When I was saying this is a victory, yeah. Actually, you know what, bro? That's what I wanted to hit. When I found out that he got the fight and he got the pay-per-view, I was happy. I said, Rolly made it. Rolly went from getting no bread, having to pay fighters half his bread so he could be able to get fights. And now he talked his way to being in the spotlight, you know, from not being able to be like Anthony Yard. We was talking about Anthony Yard. Had to go that same road. He didn't come up in that amateur program. He came into boxing late with nothing, just power. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and he was selected for the Olympics. No.
Man, none of that. You know, he came in the sport late and just used the anger fueled from his childhood and the things that he went through to get here, you know? So I thought that was commendable. And not only that, while I was thinking, I was like, you know what? He made it. Finally be able to get some real money. Then I thought about it now. Floyd hasn't been paying nobody. Well, boy, Rolly, man. And then I was hearing things from other TMT fighters that Rolly wasn't giving the proper sparring that he deserves. He wasn't getting the proper money and stuff for camp that he needed. People were saying that. Shout out to Hitchison. He actually put that out there when he was talking to each other on a live. And it had me concerning. I was like, oh, wow, really? Is this really what's going on over there? And then I look at it. This is going to be a good fight. It's going to be exciting while it lasted. I don't think it goes past six rounds. Both guys have a 92% KO ratio. Looking at Tank's record, Tank got 26 wins with 24 KOs. Rolly has 14 with 12. And that's right there where it lies with my decision on who I'm picking. The guy with more experience, the guy with more skills, who was able to learn and that's Javante Tate Davis. Right there, and those records show a lot. I think the best person on Rolly's record is the guy who got the win from Hank Lundy. It was Sparrow. He beat Sparrow, who beat Hank Lundy. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the best fighter that he got on his record. But Rolly shows a lot of heart. And the fact of the matter that everybody's going against him and he still has confidence in himself, not worried about what anybody else is saying. I'm sure Rolly goes on the internet and all he hears is people talking about how he sucks and how he's going to get beat and nobody is picking him to win. And for him to still have that belief in himself, I got to commend him for it. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Rolly because you made it. You did what a lot of fighters who've been fighting longer than 14 fights can't do, and that's make it to pay-per-view, you know? So I salute you, Rolly. And there's fights for you after this, you know? There's everybody lining up to fight you now from Shakur. Talk about stepping up, moving up after this fight, to Hitchison talking about you moving up to 140 and fight. The people's excited to see you because you know you're going to talk your crap and you're going to make it exciting. I can't wait to see this fight, but I am picking Tank for the experience, and I feel like Rolly might get caught, and that's what I'm going with.
So, I know conventional wisdom. I know the odds. Tank's a heavy favorite. I know all those things. But something in me just ain't riding with it. Whoa. Like, My man Rolly pointed out, he said Javante Tank Davis be getting lip fillers. That's what he said. Rolly said he be getting lip fillers. Now it was funny. I didn't know Javante Tank Davis doesn't get lip fillers, but after he said that about Javante, I saw a shot of Javante Davis with nail polish. Javante Davis had nail polish on.
Hey, man. What that got to do with the fight, yo? You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot to do with it. I like my boxers not wearing nail polish, for one. And yeah, Trill, you pointed out that knockout ratio, but in Gervonta's last fight, he didn't get a knockout. And when he fought the Aztec Warrior, when he fought Barrios, he got a stoppage real late that he needed. But Barrios was giving him that work. And I'm looking at Tank and I'm like, you know, Tank has kind of become diva-ish. You take out the lip fillers and the nail polish, but nail polish is real, bro. I saw it. I saw the nail polish on the All Access, bro.
He's real zesty. You know what I'm saying? That's what
he's real zesty.
Yeah, it's like
that was he was showing his support to Thugger.
Free Thugger. That's all that meant. Free Thugger.
Yeah, say Free Thugger. It had it had a crown on the nail polish. Which I was saying is that queen or king? You know what I mean? I don't know, but I'm just leave that alone.
What is he? He's in Atlanta. That's a style in Atlanta. Leave that alone.
Hey, listen. To each their own, right? But here's what I'm saying to you. Like, Tank, yeah, he's a good fighter. He's the favorite. He's destined to win. But every now and then, boxing will do something to you. Vernon Forrest should have never lost to Ricardo Mayorga. But he did. But he did. This is Vernon Forrest who had Shane Mosley's number.
He shouldn't have lost to Sergio Mora. You're right.
This is the way things happen sometimes in boxing. Now I'm gonna tell you like this. I know in my heart the odds are with Tank. I know the skills with Tank. I know everything's with Tank, but I don't care. I'm not gonna pick Tank because I'm not rooting for Tank. I'm rooting for Rolly. I want Rolly to win this fight. Because to me, Rolly's more entertaining. Yeah. Rolly make me laugh more.
Yeah.
And Tank
I want Rolly to win, but this is a prediction.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I was like, whatever, man. My stats are so bad. Do what you're doing, brother. You know what I'm saying?
I have the leeway to do this right now. You know what I'm saying? I have the leeway to do this right now. Gee, I got enough predictions under my belt. Let me tell you this right now. Okay. There are a few underrated fighters in boxing right now. Chris Lovejoy and Rolly freaking Romero. I'm telling you right now, I'm being real with you though. I'm gonna pick Rolly on this one. And the reason why I'm gonna pick Rolly is because of Tank. All jokes aside, I'm picking Rolly because of Tank. Tank's the reason why I'm picking Rolly. I thought Rolly was food. I was with G with the microwave hot pockets. Remember all that. I was laughing with G. I was up there joking. I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to get me some too. But Tank's reaction. Yeah. Like, Floyd's trying to make me lose by making you fight Rolly? And then I saw him panic on $1 million worth of game when they said, he asked for all of them.
He's like,
he asked for Lomachenko. I know you win.
He asked for Lomachenko. He asked for Devin. He asked for Ryan Garcia. Yeah. He said, how many times did he said, to tell you,
to be honest,
you know what I ain't never asked for. Yo, this is the other reason why I'm like, yo, this dude is, yo, they said Tank is in the most excruciating, the most intense training camp he's ever been in. Said he didn't want any distractions. He didn't want an entourage. He wanted to focus solely on this fight. And I'm like, what is it about Rolly that's got this guy so worked up? Now, if Rolly's in his head, I got to go off of that. Do I think Tank's the better fighter? Yes, I do. Do I think Tank should win? Yes, he should. But there's something about Rolly that works Tank up. There's something about Rolly that has him nervous. And Rolly said he wobbled Tank in sparring and made him quit. He said he see Tank get hurt in sparring and quit. He said there's a video of Tank walking out of the ring in the amateurs. Some people just got your number. And the way that Tank is acting is really making me think that Rolly might have his number. So I'm going to just put it to you like this. I'm going to pick Rolly. If Rolly loses, oh well. It was just, I'm being real. If he loses, oh well. He just 14 fights on pay-per-view.
14. That's what people are not realizing.
This is right up
Tank's alley. You know, he likes going after the secondary titles. Rolly got the WBA secondary title. You know what I'm saying? This is right up Tank's alley. So look, I'm impressed. I'm happy that Rolly even made it this far. Hopefully Floyd pays him.
But before all that, Rolly's in his 14th fight, was 15th fight on pay-per-view. It is what it is. If he loses, it is what it is. But I'm watching Rolly and I'm watching Tank, and I'm just like, yo, if I had to, like, this is like a March Madness pick. You know, like March Madness, you want to predict the upsets, like your bracket intact type of pick. This is a March Madness type of pick. I think that this may be one of those fights where the gym wars, the arguments, your opponent just has your number. So I'm excited about it. So I think Rolly may have Tank's number, and I think we all may be surprised at Rolly wins. But if Tank wins, congratulations. You were supposed to win anyway.
you know what's funny? Normally I'd be like, let's make a bet. But I'm like, yeah, Kanan kind of got a point. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I was low on Rolly.
It was Tank's reaction that even had me a little nervous. I'm like, yo, fam, get this dude. Like, what are we talking about?
He's strong. But
I'm going to give a salute to Trill. Trill was the only one out of all of us, including Ned, who used to always talk about Rolly. Like, yeah, but I like Rolly. We should be like, forget Rolly. He's an idiot. Whatever. It wasn't until Tank, like, was acting so scared of Rolly that I was like, what the hell am I watching right now? Like,
so once Rolly said, yo, your arms the size of my wee-wee, son, Tank's whole reaction switched up on me. I was like, yo, what's going on here? Does Rolly really got this dude's number, son? I don't know. You know what I mean? But I just can't believe a guy with two left feet is going to violate Tank.
You know what else G got me? At the press conference, Tank seemed like so, like, he was barking like a dog that was scared. Like, he didn't seem like a confident guy. He seems barking like a dog that was scared to me. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's going on with Tank. It's because of Tank.
And my man was wearing high heel sneakers. You know what I'm saying? Them soles were thick. You
know what I'm saying? They were going to the amusement park. You know Tank can't get on those rides. those extra inches to get on the ride. How Six Flags be doing, brothers.
The last topic we're going to discuss on Boxing Bros is our prediction for the homie Wayne Fitness, who is one of our supporters, who is making his professional debut on May 29th.
May Day Madness.
And so we're predicting the fight between Wayne James versus Chris Oaks. And so I'm going to share with you the flyer to this event. And if you're in the area, you should go out and support our brother, Wayne James, also known as Wayne Fitness. As you can see, this is his Instagram, Wayne Fitness 85. He said, yo, my people, yes, it's that time again. My first fight with no head guard and 10-ounce gloves, ready for the challenge. I've been training and improving. Can't wait to showcase my skills. Let's go. Hope to see some of you there. And so the actual location is Trudor Lively Halls, and it's 225 Perry Hill, London. So that's the location. You can see here's the flyer. You can go follow Wayne Fitness at Wayne Fitness 85 on Instagram. And so we're giving our prediction for this fight. All right, let's stop the sharing. We're going to turn it over to you, Trill Dollar Bill. Who you have, Wayne James or Chris Oaks?
You already know who I'm going with. Y'all already know who I'm going with. And I hope y'all in the area, man, to go to 225 Perry Hill in London. and go see my man Wayne put on a show, because you know that's what he's going to do. And I got him. He's going to have a stoppage. You know I'm going with my man Wayne with a stoppage, man. Salute to my man Wayne. He always showed love. He always showed support. Always hits us up on social media. Great guy, man. So I want all y'all to support, especially if y'all are in the area. Yo, Wayne, I told you, you got our 100%. Y'all got us. You got our support, man. So go out there and show out, man.
All right, Conspiracy G.
Let's go, champ. You know, I got my man Wayne. He supports us. We support him. You know what I mean? Chris Oaks, salute to you. I don't know you, brother, but hey, you know what I mean? Hey, you know how I am, man. I be wanting dudes to get violated, but because I don't know you, I mean it in a good way. You know what I'm saying? So, James, just do your thing, you know, and bring home that victory for us boxing bros, man. That's dope.
All right, so check it out. I haven't seen much of my man Chris Oaks, so I'm at a huge disadvantage in making this prediction. But I seen my man Wayne James in great shape, working out hard, and he's making a decision to turn pro. So what I want to say more so is salute to both gentlemen for taking that leap, stepping in the ring, which takes a lot of courage. To my man Wayne, I'm hoping for the best, and I have faith in you because I see that you're in really good shape. And I'm picking you to win, but even if you don't win, don't give up, because Bernard Hopkins lost his first professional fight and ended up becoming a legend. So the fact that you're taking this leap in itself is just, you know, a testament to your character, your ability, and your discipline, and you, you know, believing in yourself. So keep believing in yourself. I believe in you. I got you winning this fight. Let us know how things go. You know, we'll be waiting and we'll be watching. And I'm going to see if there's a way I can watch. I don't know if there is, but if not, you can send us the fight. But remember, all you can do is your best. And as long as you did your best, you don't have nothing to worry about. So salute to you, my brother, and good luck.
I see you, Wayne. I see you, Wayne. You know what it is. It's the Boxing Bros. Please like and subscribe. Let us know how you feel in the comment section. Please like, subscribe, check us out on Instagram and Twitter, and please check out our podcast on all major streaming services. Ned the TBE couldn't be with us today, but you know he's sending love. Shout out to G, shout out to Kaden. I'm the Commissioner Trill Dollar Bill. Thank you so much for rocking with us. We are the Boxing Bros.